Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For a 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey everybody, Scott Patterson, I am all in podcast. I'm joined with Tara Sood, Daniel Romo, Amy Sugarman. We are going to take a crack at the season finale, season 3, episode 22. Those Are Strings, Pinocchio. Danielle, take it away.
All righty. Air date May 20th, 2003. And everyone knows this episode, one of the biggest episodes of Gilmore Girls, so I've been told. It's Rory's graduation day, but before she gives her moving speech that makes everyone cry, she finds a solution in paying for Yale so that Lorelai can still buy the Dragonfly Inn with Suki. Luke is supposed to go on a trip with Nicole, but will one dream make him realize something he has never admitted to himself? Plus, Richard and Emily buy Rory a car as a gift. So nice of them. And finally, Rory says her piece to Jess as he mysteriously calls right after her ceremony.
Happy graduation.
I got to tell you, this is the best episode that I have seen in this entire three seasons. This was unbelievable. Girls, what do you think?
For me, this is actually my favorite episode of the whole series. As a Gilmore Girls fan, this episode represents what the show is about. It's about Rory and Lorelai and their love for each other, and that's what that speech was about, right?
Yeah.
So that's why it's my favorite episode. And the part where she goes to Emily and Richard and she's like, here's the thing. This is my thing. I want to go to this school. I want you to kind of like get Lorelai out of trouble in a sense, but Rory's doing it and she's now the adult. So this whole episode to me was
full circle.
It was full circle, but it was also the end of like chapter one right. of Gilmore Girls. Yeah, and now I'll we're give going that to into you. Chapter two.
Okay. Hands, show of hands. Who cried?
Oh God, obviously.
Oh, multiple times. Yeah.
Oh my
Who
God.
Who cried? Danielle, did you cry?
No, no tears.
Not even a welling. A welling. Nope. They didn't have to stream down your face. Just
no.
And
no
as, welling? Did you?
As Suki
did
said, you? I was not blubbering.
I welled up.
Yeah, I cried real tears. Like, yeah. Wipe the face at the end of the show.
Yeah,
tears.
Yeah. Shocking. But it's like, but that speech, Rory's speech, when she thanked her grandparents and told her mother, I mean, yeah, it wasn't like the waterworks, but it was very moving. Anyway.
Did you, we'll get to that. Because I want to think, I think it made me even cry more seeing Suki and Lorelai crying, trying not to cry. And then Luke is crying, and then I'm crying. It's like a contagious yawn.
All right, so take us through it. Let's start from the beginning, because this was a very, very special episode. Very, very special.
Agree. But before we get into it, I need to ask both you and Danielle, what do you think is coming? Like, because Danielle's never seen it. Scott, do you remember anything?
I remember a lot, but I don't know what you're referring to. What's coming in season four?
Correct. All right. I
kind of ultimately know. I remember that pivotal scene, and I think I know what you're referring to. The numero uno smoocheroony, right? But I'm not telling. But
no spoilers.
I'm not saying for who.
So Danielle,
I'm not saying who.
Okay.
Because it's fun for everybody, because you are the virgin here.
Oh God. Yes.
Which I still think that was a good title. So what do you think is going to happen? Let's say with Luke. Let's talk about Luke. What do you predict?
Okay. Well, I predict that season four is going to be the Luke and Lorelai show. But to get there, I think that Luke and Nicole are going on this vacation. They're packing up. He's meeting her at the dock. He's got his suitcases.
The dock.
I love it. She thinks like a full Carnival Cruise is pulling up at the dock.
She's in a raincoat. She's smoking a cigarette. It's midnight.
You all know what I mean by a
she
dock.
She hears the call. The boat pulls up.
Okay, the boat pulls up. Nicole's walking in there. And Luke is like, I got to do something before I get on the boat. I'll meet you on there. And then he's like running to the dock, whatever the hell you call it. And then he goes, nope, this isn't what I want. And he makes a U-turn.
Wow.
Shows up at Lorelai.
Leaves her head. She's on the boat and he's like, can't do it.
She's
bye.
On the boat. And then he goes to the house, knocks on the door.
Wow.
And he's like, Lorelai, I want this. And then they have that numero unos.
No, first he stops off at a sign shop and they make him a sign. I love you, Lorelai. Puts it on top of his car and starts honking his way into Stars Hollow.
I like that added detail. It's beautiful. I'm not opposed.
It's beautiful.
Since he's wearing a trench coat, did he get his boombox out and hold it up? Oh my God. Okay, well.
Definitely something along those lines. Right. That's why
I'm glad to know that.
That's interesting. Leaves her at the dock. Leaves her hanging. I like that. At midnight in a trench coat. And it's raining.
Like, I definitely think Nicole still goes on the cruise without him. On the romantic cruise.
The graphic comes up in black and white, you know, Port of Hartford, midnight. And then we hear this, you know, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Where's Luke? Where is he?
Why is it making me think, and I'm going to mess up the lyrics, but why is it making me think of that Bon Jovi song?
What?
Johnny used to work on the docks. I don't even think it's Johnny. But
no, it is Johnny.
I don't know if it is, but okay.
It sounded right.
I'm glad we had that moment. Thank you so much. Living on a prayer.
Tommy
worked on the docks.
Tommy, not Johnny.
It was close.
Johnny used to work on the docks.
Johnny had a shot. He just didn't. ask yeah, the Johnny right questions. He got eliminated.
Couldn't hang.
Yeah.
Okay.
Johnny wanted to be in a Springsteen song. He didn't want to be in a Bon Jovi song. Oh,
Tommy's ending up with Nicole. Tommy's on the cruise.
Okay. Well, we'll let's the record show. We will revisit this. Uh-huh. Somebody save this little thing that Danielle just said so we can re-listen to it when we watch the season four first couple episodes.
Oh, yeah.
No, okay, stop.
Yeah, this is coming back to haunt someone.
Oh, no.
Town crooner is back. The
Who?
Town crooner is back.
Oh, yeah,
the
she's
town
back.
Crooner.
Right.
So were we all happy to see him for a moment?
You know, and he gets smashed into by, you know, get out of my way, peace boy. Out of the way, peace boy. And then a lovely, graceful entrance by Lorelai with her 300-pound backpack strapped to her. Very comical scene. Made me laugh out loud. I thought
it did have a funny line.
It was the perfect Gilmore moment, wasn't it?
Yes.
It just starts out so beautiful and then smash.
I did love when Luke says, "Don't take your shoes off. This is a restaurant."
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So good. All right.
And
so,
are they just carrying around those backpacks for practice? Like,
practicing.
Is that just whatever?
So they were out getting in backpack shape.
Yeah.
European backpack shape. Right.
Two important things in this scene, Scott, mm-hmm. that I really want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. Go ahead.
First, we learn that Luke is going to close the diner, which had me sort of shook because it's like, whoa, that is big. And then he's going on this cruise. Mm-hmm. So Lorelai begins with all the love boat jokes, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. epic, and mentioning, are you going to propose?
Yeah.
Thoughts. Mm-hmm. Thoughts.
Inappropriate, but that's Lorelai, right?
Oh, like you mean she's overstepping?
Well, of course. That's what she does. That's who she is. That's her character. You know, she's a female Don Rickles, Henny Youngman type character, right? So she's going to ask those questions because nobody does that. And she's going to do it. And that's why we love her, right? We expect the unexpected. So she asks that question. She pops the question about
it. Do you think Luke, it had even crossed his mind?
That's a lot of words I said without answering the question.
No, Don Rickles is actually a pretty funny comparison. Do you think that Luke had thought about proposing? Has that even crossed his mind?
I don't think so.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't know. He's. I mean, how long has he been dating her now?
I mean, only like 6 months.
Six months,
right?
But he's cool with her. It's like going well. Yeah. But I think he's biding his time, right?
And he's just the parents.
He's giving it a chance. But it's like, you know, maybe it's fun and relaxed and it's good for him and he knows it's good for his life and she's having a good time and all that, but maybe he doesn't feel it's the end all be all, right?
Yeah.
But again, how would he know? It's definitely not the same feeling he has for Lorelai. So I think that's why he's, but I think he probably feels he's never going to get Lorelai.
Yeah.
And he's got to grow up and try something else and maybe carve out a life for himself. And you know, I just think he's trying to be, you know, emotionally mature about it, right?
I literally think your analysis is exactly right. Yeah. Like he knows I should keep dating her mm-hmm. because I deserve to be happy and this is what adults do.
She's a good person.
Right.
Yeah. Has great catch. She's a lawyer.
Job.
She's smart. Right. There's nothing bad. There's nothing bad. Mm-mm. But I do think there might be some subliminally he's convincing himself like, this is what I should do.
I think he was troubled by meeting the parents and that he so didn't fit in. Yeah. And he felt like, I mean, that's an academic family, right? Mm. He's not going to fit in. You know, Christmas is going to be strained and Thanksgivings are going to be strained. They're always going to be talking down, not down to Luke, but a lot of things are going to go over his head. And I don't think he likes being in that position. And, he's just not a very sociable or social guy.
Yeah, you know, so that part's true, but he is very smart.
No.
Like that's...
Right.
Might not even, like, be so aware of how smart he is. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I never think of Luke as not being completely up to the standards of the lawyer or whoever. He knows business. He knows life. He knows... the School of Hard Knocks. Like, he does it all, you know?
Well, I think he knows what works for him, right? He knows himself. So, you know, there you go. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a certain kind of wisdom that comes out of him from time to time, or maybe more often than that. But mm-hmm. yeah, I don't know. I think he likes being with her. I don't mm-hmm. know that it's long term, and I think he still probably has a glimmer of hope for Lorelai coming around somehow.
I totally agree. Because
that feeling, I think that feeling, that tension's always there.
Yep.
It's always there. That doesn't go away with somebody. When you feel it to that degree for somebody, man.
I totally agree. Do you guys feel the same, Danielle and Tara? Like, how do I say this? Luke and Nicole are perfectly pleasant.
Yeah.
But I'm not feeling the...
No, it just seems like someone, it's just like they're dating each other.
Yeah.
It's just a phase.
They're hanging out to pass time, but they're not each other's soulmates. But they get along and they like to flirt and they like to, you know, hang out, whatever. But not a soulmate. Well, like, not they're destined to be together vibe.
Chemistry is not the same.
It's not. Yeah. And I think if Luke found somebody that he felt the same way about other than Lorelai, that would happen very quickly. He would marry that girl very quickly. They would have children very, you know, as soon as they could.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of a thing. Because that's really what he feels for Lorelai, right?
And I do think Luke wants that. I do think he wants a partner. I do think he wants a family. Like, he wants all those things. Like, I see that. So when Lorelai asked, "Is he going to propose?" and he kind of was like, "Oh, I didn't even think about it." Yeah, because it's the wrong girl.
Yeah.
It's not the right
person. I also think, let's take one brief moment to compare. We're jumping to the end, but we're going to compare this moment with the dream at the end when Luke has that dream of Lorelai saying, "Don't propose." Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think she put that subconsciously into his head because it was her fear. Almost like she's saying, "Oh, you're going to propose," to almost like calm her own anxiety, like hoping you said no. Mm-hmm. And then that puts that into your head and you realize at the end, you don't want to propose because you want her. I find a very important parallel between those two scenes.
Look, man, he's dreaming about her, right? So that's
yeah.
How many have you ever had some guy come up to you and say, "You know, I had a dream about you last night"?
Like, tell me more.
Yeah. Well, based on the fact that I've never met you, do tell.
Wait, Scott, you are nailing it though. It's so on the nose. Like, his dream is for her to say, "Don't."
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. What he wants to hear. Yeah, man.
Ooh, that was deep, guys.
Only one Lorelai. There's only one of those.
And there's only one Luke. Give yourself some cred.
No, yeah. But I mean, I'm from Luke's point of view. There's one of her.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They didn't make another one of her. She's one in a billion, and he knows it. And however quirky or inappropriate she is, she's very special and she's very funny and warm and loving and what a fun life. And I think, he brings out a side in him that he buries. Mm. So I think he sees himself, he projects himself into a future with her where he feels like he could open up a little bit and start loosening up and having some fun and having some laughs and
you know, starting. I love that you said, "What a fun life."
Right. It would be more fun. His life, he knows his life isn't tremendously fun. He's a, you know, he's a guy that gets up and works and he works all day and he works. That's what defines him, keeps him sane. Mm-hmm. And why do people do that? You know, why are people like that? Because, you know, they haven't found the one. They find the one. He's not working so much.
And she's like the bright light of all of Stars Hollow, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, she's the one who just keeps everyone going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about if that dream was actually I had that moment too where I'm like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah.
And then he wakes up. You're like, "Was that real?" What if Lorelai had done that? And what if she had gone? I didn't find it inappropriate. Like, what if she had gone into the diner in reality and said, like, "Hey, don't propose." What would just, y'all have thought?
Oh, wait. You wouldn't have found that inappropriate?
No.
I did.
Yeah.
I think it would have been too soon. Because that's a moment that you have to kiss.
Then I thought of that. You're right.
Then that scene needed to happen in the dream. It could not happen in real life. It needed to be the dream. Otherwise, I don't think it would have spoken to Luke. Well, maybe it would have, but like the only way for it to be somewhat appropriate is for Luke to dream it.
But also, it's not like when it happened, I was like, Lorelai would say something like this and just mess things up, you know?
Totally.
Right. And I do think I want to go back to what Scott said, is that it is Luke's dream. It is Luke's dream. Not like she's in it, and Luke is dreaming of her stopping him from being with someone else, essentially.
Ah, summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
So one other important, very important thing in this scene is that we learn that Luke will be at the graduation Wednesday at 4. And I thought that was important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's his family. You know, they're family. The Gilmore see Luke as part of their pivotal close four group of people. Because it's Suki, it's Jackson, it's Luke and the girls, and obviously mm-hmm. Richard and Emily. Mm-hmm. But they're a very tight-knit family.
Yeah.
I mean, it made perfect sense to me, and we'll talk about it when we get to the graduation scene, that he was there. Mm-hmm. I know everybody has thoughts because I've already seen some of them in the group text, so we'll talk about that. The inn. Okay, so we're at the Dragonfly. And there is Luke checking it out.
Yep.
Thoughts? Scott?
They're just setting us up. That scene was just setting us up for heartbreak, right? Just setting us up for heartbreak. Like,
you mean it's a money pit or something's going to go wrong?
That it's not a money pit, and that you're going to be up and running 4 or 5 months. So don't worry about it, right? It's just laying the groundwork for the bad news that's coming, for the Independence Inn that's closing up, and that, you know, and all that. So
yeah, let's talk about that now. What did you all think when you realized the Independence Inn is no more?
Man,
I mean, the fire, I think we kind of saw it coming though.
But I did find it really interesting. Okay. Can I just, since I don't know what happens next, can I just throw something out there?
Yeah. Of course.
Okay. So when Lorelai was talking to the owners, I'm assuming son, because she was yada, yada. She was saying, but Rory grew up here. But this is my job. You know, the Independence Inn is very sentimental to Lorelai. And then he was like, she's probably just going to put it up for sale. So I think she does a bait and switch and buys the Independence Inn.
Oh, you think that's what's going to happen?
It doesn't. Okay. Clearly it's not what happens.
Actually, piggybacking off of that, there was a fan who told us on Instagram that there was a deleted scene from this episode. And I found it on YouTube. And it's basically a flashback of Lorelai and Rory now, and when Rory was a kid in the Independence Inn, which I'm like, man, that should have been in the episode.
But I like that scene too.
Yeah.
I really, that was
a
very moving scene.
It wasn't in the episode.
I thought it was a great scene. I really liked how they do it. And you got to figure, I mean, it looked like Lorelai was probably in her early 20s in that scene, or?
Yeah, Rory was 10, something like that.
Well, okay, so Lorelai was 26. All right. So,
hey, Scott.
Yeah.
That makes me think of something.
Hmm.
Are there a lot of scenes you shoot that do not make it, even on this show? Because this show seems so tight and scripted.
I don't.
Was that rare?
I think that was rare. Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember shooting a scene that didn't make it onto the final cut. Yeah. I could be wrong, and I'm sure there's some fans out there that know this and that they'll school us. But I don't recall one scene being shot.
But it's not every episode. There's multiple scenes you shoot that never got in.
No, because it's these are very tight schedules and they're all timed out, and they have to be in.
There's also so many callbacks. Yeah. I can't. Scripty would have a real mess on
Scripty.
There's so many callbacks. Imagine if they're doing a scene. The reason that one worked is it was a very sort of isolated scene because of the flashback situation that you can see. Okay, maybe they just had to dump it for
time.
And
it was just a minute. It wasn't even long. So
right. Yeah. I really enjoyed that scene. I was surprised they left it out. They had their reasons, obviously. But I enjoyed that scene.
And Kirk has another job. We're going back to
so many jobs.
Yeah, so it is interesting that it's going to take 5 months or so.
Yeah.
And then they have no jobs. All of a sudden, that is sort of, I guess we'll jump to that.
Mm-hmm.
That all of a sudden, these guys are out of work. And I don't get the idea any of them have a ton of dough in the bank. Like Luke does, for example, to last them 6 months, no work.
Not when she has to pay for Yale.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, I guess, okay, let's talk about that. That's such an important part of this episode. What do you think about the fact, one, is that she was going to sacrifice the inn for Rory. Two, Rory finds out because Suki sort of lets the cat out of the bag. And then that Rory goes to the grandparents. Let's talk about it all.
We know that these situations come about in the in the watching of the episode, because all roads lead back to the Gilmores. I mean, Richard and Emily, all roads are going to end up back there because they have the they hold the purse strings. So no surprise. I did like how Rory went back herself independently.
I did too.
And laid out and made that deal with Richard. I really enjoyed that scene. And, you know, she got what she wanted. Everybody got what they wanted. She had to explain to her mother later on, it's a win-win-win. Everybody wins. You know what I mean? And yeah. Lorelai hanging on to that sort of, you know, that her childhood trauma. As she's wont to do, but it provides for necessary conflict to keep the story moving forward.
Yeah. I get torn between that scene, and this is kind of jumping ahead, but that scene between Rory and Lorelai where Rory tells her what happens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Rory is saying, it's a win-win for everyone, you know, like, this is good, this is great. And Lorelai still tries to make it a little negative. Right. And it kind of bothered me a little bit. I get why she's doing that, because she wants to give Rory low expectations. But at the same time, I'm like, it's already done. Like, why do you have to say they're manipulating her? She's the one that went to them. And, you know, like, that kind of bothered me a little bit.
And plus, it's a celebration episode.
Yeah.
Like, can we just lay down our swords for, you know, one afternoon here and not, or a couple of days and not squabble?
Yeah,
because it's about coming together for Rory and celebrating Rory. And then, you know, thereby we're celebrating ourselves, and everybody's celebrating each other for their contributions. I mean, if there is ever a moment to be family friendly, this was probably it. And I agree. She's still kind of chipping away. And
at this point, Rory knows, you know, she knows what her grandparents have done to her mom and vice versa. And she knows that strained relationship, but it's not her relationship with them. Right. So it bothers me that Lorelai tries to impose that on her. I'm just like, it's okay. Right. Let her figure it out herself. She knows what you went through. You don't have to keep going at it.
You know what a thought I had on the second go around watching this is do you guys think, and I almost hate to pose this. Do you think that Rory, I think Lorelai was a great mother, but do you think she was too close to her own daughter and sort of, you know, the seeds of failure were sown in that closeness where Rory goes off and can't possibly succeed without her mommy? I mean, what do you think of that? I mean, I don't want to sound too cynical, but.
No. I think there are definite complications in their relationship because of how close they are, and that it does sometimes veer to that best friend thing, and you can lose the mother daughter. I think I like it, but it does make it complicated.
Because I see Rory trying to break out of that when she has to sort of mother her own mother and explain to her it's a win-win-win. That's not what a child does with their parent. The parent is supposed to know that. Right. And I think that's why Danielle and you know, I had a little problem with that too. I thought, geez, she's just like, can't she just lay down her sword and celebrate this?
Well, and didn't you think, I mean, for me, it was so heartwarming. I loved it. I loved this moment in the episode when you see how, like, happy isn't even the right word, that Emily and Richard are.
They are
so happy. And even like Emily was just like, you know, like
it was like Santa had just come and it was Christmas morning and they were eight. Like their faces, and so perfectly acted.
Oh, because God, that scene was so brilliant.
When they make that deal and they're doing the deal and Richard's doing his thing and Emily's doing her thing, and they couldn't have been happier to give her the money.
Oh my God. And Friday night dinners are reinstated.
Right.
Yeah, that's like Emily's dream.
Also, I wish every loan was on the terms Richard's loans are on. Payback after 5 years, zero interest.
No interest.
But it's also funny because I was like, you know, he's saying that. And then once 5 years comes, he's going to be like, you can do it in five more. Like he's not looking for
but
her money.
In that, you know, Emily's like, this is an extra 9 years. Of Friday night dinners.
And like, also, they would have given, I'm certain of it, they would not have asked for Friday night dinners. They wouldn't. They just would have been totally happy to pay for college. She offered it, and they were, of course, going to take it. But it was not an obligation in the same way it was before. which I understand why they did it before and made it part of the deal.
Well, they had no relationship before. So they're like, if we're going to give you this money, we need to have a relationship, which I stand by.
They have a relationship with Rory. They know they have it. And they just wanted her to have the money. So I love that there's Friday night dinners back, but I don't think that Emily and Richard would have ever required that.
No. I kind of agree with you on that. I do.
I did have one question. I can't remember, how far is Yale from the Gilmore's house? Because how far is she driving for Friday night dinners?
New Haven to Hartford is, I don't think it's very far.
I'll look it up.
It's like 30 minutes. I think she said
It's
not 20 minutes, 30 minutes.
Maybe? Oh, okay. Never mind.
It's not that far.
Stars Hollow is further away from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably, I don't know, an hour.
I'm trying to find that.
I drove it once, you know.
Our producer Jackie said 37 minutes.
37 so, minutes. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
All right, not bad. All right, I was just wondering.
How long in Luke's truck?
Maybe 38 minutes.
And a half minutes.
This one says 42 minutes.
Well, that's Luke's truck, 42 minutes.
There might be. There's a hint of traffic right now in on the 84.
Right.
Oh, no, on the 91.
And they have really big mosquitoes in Alaska. Let's not get off on a tangent here. Okay, so anyway. Okay. So, and the car, they threw in the car as well.
Yeah, let's talk about the gift.
And they were so pleased. They were so happy that they could give it to her.
And then I was really happy Lorelai said yes. And
Danielle, you enjoyed that one, didn't you?
I loved when they ended graduation, they walk out to the parking lot and there's like 20 cars with bows on it.
I didn't know there were Priuses in 2003.
I remember that she had a Prius. It was very Leo. They even referenced Leo. It was very like right on point. Go Richard. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, man.
Before we get to the speech, let's just talk briefly about Paris being so cool with Rory being the valedictorian. That did not try.
Cool? How she tried to sabotage her?
No, but why she was thrilled.
I did the research, you know, like people that are named valedictorian, the statistics aren't favorable for future success or mortality.
They get in car accidents and they get divorced. So good for you, Rory.
She's such a peach, that Paris, isn't she? Boy, up to her old tricks.
And then I did think it was funny, even though not nice, when they kept calling that guy AV geek. And then they're like, pan my body nice and slow.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was sort of a moment of levity and just sort of funny and real.
Yeah.
We didn't have enough Michelle. But we got a good one, good scene.
Could not see him as a dancer.
Why wasn't he at the graduation?
A great question.
Why the heck wasn't the whole town there?
Well, that's what I was thinking too. Like, where was everybody?
You only get a certain amount of tickets. Yeah. And I remember my family had a field day on who can come and who can't. So I firsthand know that not everyone's going to make it.
We took other family tickets. Like one of my friends was like, I got one extra ticket. I'm like, and that's
I'll
mine.
Take it. So we had a party at our house after my high school graduation so everyone could come.
All right. Like, so that makes sense. And then we understand even more how important it was that Luke was picked, Jackson was picked, Suki was picked.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's not going to be Michelle over Luke.
No. Or Miss Patty or Babette, but... Yeah. All right, so...
They could throw her a party when she got back, right?
Well, they were leaving the next morning for...
Europe?
For their trip. Yeah.
Oh, really? The very next morning. Wow. Boy, they were out of... They got out of town fast.
Yeah.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What do you think about the scene? And it actually, for me, was quite heartbreaking when Lorelai comes over and like, let's get out the champagne with Suki and Jackson, and is basically telling them like, they're all out of a job, but she's trying to like, glass half full it.
I watched it twice, and I think the first time I was like, why is she doing this? This is so mean. But the second time I was like, well, Suki's pregnant, so I don't think she wanted to stress her out.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Good point. And I also like, think that she was probably so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that's where she raised, that's where mm-hmm. they first went. That's where, you know, that's I'll never forget when we decided to sell our home in Los Angeles, and you know how my wife reacted to that and how we all reacted to it. Boy, this is the place where we had our son.
Yeah.
And this, he, you know, and it's like, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's such an important point.
Yeah.
Because one is I'm thinking, oh my God, they have no jobs, money.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
But the emotional connection.
Right. It's too much to feel. It's too much to acknowledge. So you want to go the other way with it and just, hey, let's look at the bright side of this and let's stay positive. Yeah. It was actually an act of real strength, you know, on Lorelai's part to keep everybody pumped up about it. You know?
They do have something essentially to look forward to with the inn. At the time, you know, we did have that hiccup where suddenly they're not going to have the inn, but it's like, they do have things positive to look forward to if they can just make it there. Let's talk about the town meeting.
Oh,
which
I have a lot.
Okay, great. Thoughts. So the town meeting was sort of obviously the impetus for Rory and Dean to have their moment. So we can talk about, you know, if you guys have any thoughts about the town meeting, or we can just go to the conversation.
I think
go to the conversation.
Yeah, 100%.
I felt that this was perfect. I loved it so much because it was a way for Rory to say, you know, I'm sorry for everything. This is what I got out of it. I'm sorry for what happened. Thank you for being the best to me and for standing up to me. But now I know that you're with Lindsay. Please pick a gift I want and look over this catalog. So 2003, look over this catalog.
Sticky tab.
Yeah. And she goes, with Lindsay, and tell me what you guys want. And that's my gift. And I thought that was so mature of her. I loved that whole bit. And, you know, they say goodbye at the end. You know, goodbye, Rory, goodbye, Dean. You know, whatever, however they said it. But I was just like, that really made me feel good after watching that.
Mm. Yeah. I agree. And this episode was, this scene was actually right before when Rory goes to Emily and Richards. And I think back to back, these two scenes just showed how mature she's gotten over the years. Like, she's being, responsible for just everything that happened with Dean, and then she's also being responsible for her Yale money. So I think it just showed a lot of growth in this episode for her.
Yeah, I agree.
Those two fit very well together.
Mm-hmm.
Dean and Rory. They're very, it looks good. It feels good. They're comfortable with each other. I like them together, you know, or I like them as friends, you know, so, but yeah. they belong in each other's lives.
Yeah.
In some capacity.
Yeah, I thought that was very lovely. Just because really, really lovely.
Prior to this, like, the scene between Dean and Rory was basically Rory saying, why are you getting married? Why? You know, like, she was like all up in arms about it. And now she's...
and then her boyfriend gets in like a full-on...
altercation.
Knockdown brawl with him.
And then the reality
poor
set
Dean
in.
Is,
yeah.
Like, if you really think about it, Dean gets fully dumped by this girl.
Fully. Fully. Bad.
Like, practically cheated on and dumped. Not exactly cheated on, but, like, close.
It's like next hour making out with Jess.
Yeah.
Then Jess is, like, so hateful towards this poor guy. Then they get in, like, a brawl. It's just like,
poor Dean.
The fact that Dean is still friends with Rory.
Honestly, I love you, Dean. I love him. I love his character so much. I think he's just such a... He's so fun to watch. I don't know. I just like every Dean scene. I'm very.
Are you
like,
team Dean?
I am 100%. I hate
to
say
that's,
it.
That's why he's a star.
Yeah.
He has
you're
that
right,
quality
Scott.
That is. He's got that magnetic quality where you can't take your eyes off.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got that thing.
This like how like I used to think that Jess and Rory had chemistry when he first came on the scene. But now I'm like, whoa, there's just so much like vibe.
Well, that
between
brings me
Dean
to a question, Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
What is your prediction as we're wrapping up season three for Dean and Rory, or maybe Dean and Lindsay? Just what do you think? We won't.
Well, I do know one spoiler about Dean, so I know that eventually it comes back around. But I do think Dean gets married. And I do think Jess comes back. This is definitely not the end of Jess. He's coming back. And that's all I know in my head.
Could you imagine if they left Jess just in Venice Beach to end the whole series with him? Just lives in Venice Beach with that button-up shirt.
I know. Leather jacket.
Yeah.
I know we kind of touched on this, but Scott, do we all feel that Rory did the right thing by sort of making peace with Dean? And do we think she did the right thing by going to Emily and Richard for the money? Is Rory really kind of nailing this, like doing all the right things by everybody?
She's tying up loose ends. Yeah. And she's stepping up to get what she wants. And she's helping her mother out at the same time, who's stressed out financially. Yep. She's helping out her grandparents who want, you know,
yes,
to see her.
You're right.
So she's,
you're right.
You know,
she is doing something for them. You're right. Yeah. Keep
and
going.
And I think she was right to reconcile with Dean and get some closure there and, you know, potentially have a nice warm friendship going forward. And I think she was right to let Jess go.
Yeah.
Because what kind, you know, who calls and doesn't say anything and then just listens and then hangs up? I mean, please. I mean, this is a this is an option for your future.
Let's talk about that now. I mean, we'll save the speech for the end. Let's talk about that. What did you all think about how that went down?
What?
With Jess, like, calling and not talking.
It didn't track for me.
No.
Yeah, that's very, like, first of all, who calls multiple times and just, like, is breathing on the other line, like, you know, it's like, what?
But he wasn't breathing heavy, come on.
No, but, like, in my head.
But okay, but the thing is, let's just rewind here a little bit. We have to realize how much pain Jess is in and how confused he is and how his world is just blown apart. His dad doesn't want him. His mom doesn't want him. He's got Luke kicked him out. Nobody wants him. And he doesn't feel worthy. He does, but he's hanging on. You know, that phone call scared me, actually.
This is what I was saying.
That's the kind of phone call where somebody hangs up and it's like they make a decision.
Oh, wow.
It's like that kind of depression and loneliness. I mean, that guy needs somebody to reach out. He really needs help. You know,
he definitely does.
It really hurt me. It really, really, really hurt me. You know, so we can, you know, listen, I get this way too, and everybody does. You get all judgy about things because it's just a TV show. But look at the character. Look at what he's going through. And it's that was a lifeline for him. That was a call that he didn't have to say it, but the call really meant save me.
Yeah. I just thought that he cared so much for Rory that he wouldn't mess graduation up. Mm-hmm. I thought he would have him calling the day before or day after, whatever. I would have, like, yes, I would have agreed with you, Scott. And I do get the point that you're saying. But I'm also like, the one day he should have left alone was her graduation day. He left, so he needs to leave her alone too, in my brain.
See, I thought that maybe that was his moment that he was trying to say I'm sorry, to make it up and bring around, like, everything and say I'm sorry on graduation day because he knows it's so important to her. But I see your point as well. Like, he should have
just left
it. My thought,
it could be a little bit of a stretch, but I feel like he really gets her and they are very in tune, that he is calling repeatedly and staying on the line for that moment where she's going to say what she needed to say to move forward for herself.
That's a good point.
So he's calling repeatedly and, like, she probably just keeps hanging up. Do you know what I mean?
That actually just gave me chills.
It was a noble act to let her go.
He's giving her that moment.
Giving her the runway to do it.
Because he can't do it. Yeah, he can't break it.
He knows he's not good for her.
And he wants to give her that
opportunity. He always wants the best for her, too. Like, Jess always wanted the best, even though he may not show it at all times. Like, he always thinks of her in a very positive way and wants her to do well.
And the reason I believe that also is because I believe Amy Sherman-Palladino knew exactly what she was doing, and that we would have been left to wonder, was that Jess?
Right.
We all know it's Jess. But they make it very clear. They shoot a scene with him to make it very clear that he is there on the payphone. He's still in Venice. Obviously, we still have our, you know, hopes and dreams of the spinoff. But that is, to me, that was, I don't know that he was being, I agree with Scott in that he's in a bad place and does need someone to reach out to him and love him. And maybe we're to assume that Jimmy comes back around. But that he's giving her that opportunity to say her piece so that she can go off for the summer feeling as best as she can and then really enjoy Yale.
It's actually a very beautiful scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that Rory put it all out there. Mm-hmm. Like, everything she said, like, when she goes, I think I may have loved you, you know, like, even that, it just was, it was so.
Alexis Bledel is, like, ridiculously an amazing actress.
She really is.
So good.
She's very natural and very fluid.
Teenager.
Yeah, I know.
So here comes another hot topic before we get to the speech. Mm-hmm. What do you all think the fact that Christopher is not there?
It's like
Daniel. Ugh.
I cannot be more pissed about anything other than that. Like that made me more mad than just calling, to be honest.
Then they did the writers did their job.
Yeah, I was mad. I was you are her father. Yeah. I don't care if you have another baby somewhere else. You show up if you have a relationship with your daughter and you are trying to do that. And not only that, but like you've been correcting all your wrongs with your new baby. Like you still got time with Rory. Like don't mess this up. And he's doing it again. I was just pissed.
Mm-hmm. It was both. I was actually wondering why, and maybe it's a ticket thing. We never know, but it was both Christopher and Lane. Why weren't they both at the graduation?
Because I thought There's three.
Why wasn't Max Medina there?
Right.
I didn't think of that one.
He's a teacher. I mean, I assume he's there.
Yeah, but like, is he still there? I know he came back, but like,
he's on loan from Stanford.
Hey, here's a thought. Should this have been a separate episode? Just throwing it out there. What do you guys think?
So you're saying there's so much happening that you would have liked this to be like a two-parter.
Well, I don't know if I'd have liked it, but I'm just throwing it out there. What do you think? Could this episode, just the graduation and all the interactions with all the Chilton people and anybody directly involved with Chilton, could that have been a standalone episode? What do you guys think?
I see where you're going with it.
Right.
And that there's a lot happening, but I think that's very Gilmore. A lot of meat in the sandwich. I was sort of happy that they didn't make me linger more at graduation, that they moved me through graduation.
There's some shows that graduation is so long where you're like, let's just get it. Like, we know you're graduating. Let's get it over with. But that speech was like exactly what we needed.
Mm-hmm. It's like a bad TV wedding when there's just, can we get through the wedding? I need to know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but this is not your average writing staff. You know what I mean?
I didn't need more of Brad's speech. I'd had just plenty.
Oh my God, Brad's speech.
And cherish.
But also I feel like in high school, like when you're graduating high school, like that scene where they were doing like the goodbye video and the conversation with Paris, like that's kind of like your last moment with your peers in school anyway. Like graduation day is really about you and your family. It's not really about
that's a great point.
You know, the teacher. Like I don't even think I talked to a teacher like graduation day, you know? So I think it was more about the family.
I did think that it was perfect. And Scott, you'll be able to comment, the physical comedy of Melissa McCarthy over the people.
Oh my
I'm sorry. I suck.
Like, also the architecture of Chilton.
Oh, yes.
That was a good joke. Suki
was saying, you guys may think I'm late, but I was here before all of you guys. And she's just like fiddling through the chairs. I'm just like, she's so good. I love
talking about Luke
and Jackson with the insurance
talk. Luke and Jackson was such a dad thing to do. Like,
and leaning over to Richard. Richard, how much to insure this? And Richard's like ready to talk about it.
Well, it's good. Probably approaching six figures. They're like, no.
And actually, before we talk about the valedictorian speech, I did take note, and I don't know if somebody had a real brain, that Geller and Gilmore would be next to each other to get their diplomas so we can have that one more moment with Paris and Rory. I was like, somebody really knew what they were doing when they named those
two. It's so
two.
Funny you say that, because on another show that I'm watching, they took roll call and someone with the last name L was listed off first, and it was like all out of order because it was the main characters,
right?
And so I was like, oh, okay, like Lorelai and I'm sorry, Rory and Paris are back to back. This makes sense.
And so we do get the Luke, give me your pen callback too.
that was great. Also, the whole Emily and Richard seating saga had me
the space between
laughing.
Right between Emily.
Why do you always assume that I carry pens with me everywhere I go?
That's a good callback. Scott, you first. What did you think about the speech?
It was beautifully written, beautifully performed, very, very moving. You know, it got me. It really got me when she, you know, it was very satisfying that she honored Richard and Emily. And then she moved on to her mom, and that was extra special. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you got to be battery powered if you didn't feel anything there, because it sure made me feel. It was maybe the nicest moment on the show. Those moments were, so far the first three seasons, those were spectacular moments. Mm-hmm. You know, real fulfillment. You know, real full circle moments. You know. It's everything Richard and Emily wanted.
Yeah. Right? Shout out, and their faces just glowed.
And it landed right in their lap, and Rory just showed her respect, and it was wonderful. Yeah.
And so genuine.
Yeah.
I also liked how Lorelai and Suki were like, don't cry, don't cry. Like, you know, because like we're over here on the couch bawling. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I was like,
I was
ugly crying. And they're just trying so hard to keep us together, but it was such a Gilmore thing to do. It was that little back and forth banter during her speech was just so spot on.
It's just obvious that like Rory is the reason that that family is together, I guess.
Yes. Well, and then the sticking the tongues out when she's getting the diploma, very Gilmore-y. So I didn't mention this earlier when we talked briefly about Christopher. To me, yes, it's terrible that Christopher's not there and I don't even understand it. But Luke is the dad. In a sense,
yeah.
He was very dad-like
ticket.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess dad light. I don't know. I don't think he didn't really have a close relationship with Rory, right? I mean, he was dad at a distance. He was
dad at a distance. That's fine.
He was a protector at a distance, and
inviting the random dude from the diner to your graduation. You're inviting the male figure in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been there since she was a baby. She's been bringing little baby Rory into the diner since she was born, right? So Luke's been there, you know, playing with her and coochie and the whole thing. And, you know, it's been 17 years.
Speaking of missing parents, Paris's parents not being there, but her nanny's family.
And the kids, I know.
They love her. They literally love her. I was so happy for Paris that she had people there. You know what I mean? I was so happy for her.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. And vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect.
Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
So then I guess let's talk about the back in Chilton. And maybe this is why they didn't include the in scene, because they're almost sort of similar scenes in a sense, the deleted
but
scene. And if you haven't
seen it, go watch it. Ceremony, she told her that she got the in.
Yeah, she did.
Right.
On the paper.
But maybe what I'm thinking is maybe the reason they dumped the scene.
Oh, the deleted scene.
The deleted scene is because we sort of have a similar moment at Chilton. When they go in to like carve their name and they take that moment and it looks so big, but they say this isn't scary anymore. Mm-hmm. Maybe they sort of felt that just played better. I don't know.
It was just another moment for me that Lorelai is growing up.
Yeah.
You know, just like the Dean scene, the going to Richard and Emily's to, you know, not being scared of Chilton anymore. I was just like, oh, she is grown up. She is a young lady.
She came out on top at Chilton, and she had her choice of Harvard, Princeton, or Yale. What an accomplishment in 2 years or in, you know, what is she, or 3 years? Did she come in there as a sophomore?
Yeah, that's right.
So,
she came.
Yeah, they even acknowledge it somewhere. Year. I think headmaster. Oh my God! What
Charleston?
Charleston even mentions it in his introduction to her.
It's quite an accomplishment. I mean, really, quite an accomplishment. And then I love the deleted scene because it talks about books and it talks about how we more rooms to stack your books and this tells me what a great mother she is. Right? I wanted that. I really like that scene.
I also thought in the introduction that Headmaster Charleston said when he said competitive when she needs to be. And I thought, his intro for her was very cool and accurate. And you can tell that every word in this episode is important. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Every single detail is important. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you grow up that way, you know, just reading. If you were a bookish person and you're intellectually curious from the time you were a small child, you're still going to be challenged at places like that, but you're going to end up on top because your habits are so honed. They're so refined. So she couldn't lose. You know, the seeds were planted a long, long time ago. So she couldn't lose. She wasn't going to, you know, Paris was never going to defeat her. You know, it just wasn't going to happen.
Mm. So how many out of 10 diplomas do you give this episode?
Wait, we've missed a scene.
What
did we miss?
We missed when Luke tells Lorelai he's not going on the trip.
Oh,
like
that's
he tells her.
Yeah. At the graduation.
Yeah.
He tells her he's not going on the trip.
Wait.
And Lorelai's like, I didn't ruin it, right? And Luke goes, No.
Yeah. But then he says he is gonna go.
No, but then he goes
Right, but you were describing it perfectly.
He came to it as I'm not going on the trip. And she was like, oh, did I ruin it? Oh my God, I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, well, I didn't want to lead her on. Like, do you think that's leading her on after all that we've been through? That's like, I took it as Luke and Lorelai, what they've been through. And then she was like, no, of course not. And then he was like, oh, okay. Well then, yeah, okay. But like, he came to that conversation with, I'm not going, to then kind of being like, oh, maybe it is okay. I don't know. I think Luke is as confused as I am. I'm like,
I think was he asking Lorelai's permission to go on the cruise? Who goes? What is it? Was it a heat check? Yeah, right, because that's reality. The fantasy
heat
was,
check is a great way to ask.
He like dangled the carrot. He's like, yeah, I'm not going on the trip because he wanted Lorelai to say, thank God.
He wanted his dream to become reality. And when it didn't, he said, no, screw it, I'm going on a trip.
Yeah, I was like, oh, might as well.
Yeah.
Alaska has big mosquitoes.
I think you both just nailed it, Scott and Danielle. And Scott, you kind of alluded to this earlier. I think Luke doesn't really know what he wants because he doesn't want to just not have Nicole if there is no Lorelai for him. But it's so obvious to him that he's really just with Nicole waiting. I think this is what I think.
I think he wants to be with Lorelai, but he wants Lorelai to want him too. So he's like, I really like her, but it's... What is it if she's not in on it too?
He'd rather Lorelai than anyone, but he'd rather Nicole than no one.
He doesn't want to get his heart all smashed into bits. Yeah. If he makes his move and it ultimately doesn't work.
Not even just his heart, but his entire community. Like, there goes Rory. There goes, you know, Suki and Jackson. Because, like, all these people are tied to Lorelai, so he can't screw it up. You know, like
I see it that way. I think if it doesn't work out, everybody's going to be friends. I don't think he's got like, you know, he's got to close up the shop and get the heck out of town.
No.
It didn't work
but
out.
But he doesn't want to ruin the relationship he has with all those people now.
I know that. But I mean, look, at a certain point, he's got to put his big boy pants on and, you know, take a step up, you know, because anyway, let's do favorite lines. Yeah. Let me go first. You know, there was one other line. I think, I love the Luke line. Why do you assume that I carry pens with me everywhere I go?
Yeah.
Made me laugh out loud. There was another line that it was Louise said it. What did Louise say?
Oh, when they were, I know what you're talking about.
It was a quick line. It was hysterical. Yeah. What did she say?
Was it not the, this is the best I'm going to look in all my life?
No. They were sitting down. She was sitting next to Madeline. They said a line. Anyway, we'll come back to it. Amy, what was your favorite line?
So, obviously, I love Don't Get Engaged, even though it was in the dream. There was another line that I thought really was important. Basically, it's when Lorelai and Rory are talking, I think in the hallway, and she's saying, Yale is my thing. I needed financing and I got it. And Lorelai says something to the effect of, I just want there to be a time when we're all getting exactly what we want. And Rory says just softly, we'll see if we can't arrange that. And I just thought that really is their relationship of her being the voice of reason and the calm. So that really stood out to me. It wasn't a fun line. It just was something that meant something to me.
All right.
I'm going to pull mine from the Rory and Jess convo, or just Rory to the telephone convo. She goes, okay, so goodbye. That sounds really lame and stupid right now, but there it is. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Great. I'm going to give this.
How many diplomas?
I'm going to give it 10 out of 10. I really liked it. I thought it was a great episode. Really great. Really, really great. What about you, Tara?
10 out of 10. It's my favorite of the whole series.
There you go. 10 out of 10. Danielle?
9.5 out of 10.
9.5. Amy.
9. I mean, I loved it. Like, 9? That's a lot of diplomas, but I...
The half a diploma for Danielle is Christopher that was missing.
Yeah, I was pissed. Should we read some of the fan thoughts? Because we did say that we were going to do that just really quickly. Tara, you pick 3. I'll pick 3. You want to go first or I can go first?
You can go first.
So we asked our fans what their thoughts were about this episode. So one of them said... Each season is stronger for the first 3 seasons, and each character has had at least one moment to shine. I agree. A lot of best episodes ever. A lot of I cry every single time I watch this episode. Happy Friday night dinners were reinstated. Rory's speech is beyond emotional, and I cry every time. Tara, what else you got?
Tara, what do you have?
This episode always felt like a series finale. Very little cliffhanger and a lot of emotion. I actually agree. I was like, I wonder if they, Scott, I don't know, was this supposed to end after season three? Like, or did you guys get picked up right away? Because it did.
Oh, that's
feel,
a good question.
Oh, no, no, of course it, we were. Yeah, we were.
You knew.
Ratings, we were a ratings juggernaut at that point.
Yeah, because especially if they were even discussing doing a spin-off.
Oh, it wasn't even a question. Yeah,
but,
we were definitely coming back.
But if you watch it, like, if you're watching it now, like, you're like, oh, I guess it could have ended right there if it only was three seasons. Oh,
no,
you know?
No, no,
we
could have
gone,
gone 30 seasons.
30 seasons.
Yeah, but setting us up for the college.
They would, even after we died, they'd still be filming episodes, you know, with our progeny or something.
A couple other fan thoughts. The phone call between Jess and Rory felt things so unfinished for me. One of my favorite episodes. Let's see. Why did Richard and Emily have disappointed reactions that buying a car for Rory was a win-win for Lorelai?
That's a good point.
That was true. That's a great point because they did.
Yeah, they were like,
and you know, it was intentional.
Yeah. All right, so I got a couple things. My crack team has unearthed some facts. Yeah, here we go. All right,
Get
so.
It.
We have a clown pillow sighting at 1838.
I missed it.
I got that.
1838. 1830. About 2430 time marker. When the group first sits down at the graduation, Luke is sitting on the aisle. But at 2730, when Richard and Emily join them, suddenly another couple is sitting in the aisle seats, presumably to set up the visual gag of Suki climbing over them multiple times.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Yes. Yes. Oh. All right. So
I did.
Yep. Yep.
Good eye.
The actress that played Paris's nanny also played a maid in season two, Like Mother, Like Daughter, the fashion show episode.
Interesting.
And I want to also make a note. This is from Lauren's book. The blonde girl sitting behind Paris and Rory at the graduation ceremony is Lauren's real life sister.
No.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Half sister. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Or some sort of stepsister. Mm-hmm. Same thing. When Rory is talking to Jess on the phone, she says, "You ended up not taking me to my prom, but it was his prom they were planning to attend." She should have said, "You ended up not taking me to your prom." Anyway, there you go. Anyway, the scene.
Quick note on that.
Mm-hmm.
I was bummed that we never saw Dave Rogalski and Lane at the prom. We know it happened, and she's got the box of pictures.
Complete, yeah.
That was a bummer.
Any excuse for more Dave.
Massive hole. Massive hole.
That was a bummer.
Did the OC start?
I have not recovered from that. No, absolutely.
Keep going.
Massive hole. The scene where Lorelai enters the diner and tells Luke not to get engaged, a surprising number of fans out there completely miss the fact that this is a dream sequence.
Right.
The two deleted scenes where Louise can't remember which of her father's ex-wives is her actual mother is kind of hilarious. And the creative, but a lot of people say lackluster scene with current day Lorelai and Rory intertwined with flashback Lorelai and Rory. I actually really enjoyed that scene.
Yeah.
But anyway, there you go. That's season three. Wrap up, everybody. Thank you, ladies. The next episode, season four, episode one, the premiere is called Ballroom and Biscotti.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see how things change going to college.
It's going
to
be, you know, we'll take the summer off. Not us. We're going to be back at it. Nose to the grindstone. Right. No European backpacking vacations for this gang.
Are you sure?
That's not a part of the budget of this show.
I think we're all going to meet in Vegas pretty soon. We'll be backpacking through the desert.
That's what I was going to say. We have some exciting things coming, like some very special things. So the season four premiere is coming soon, but everyone, we've got some special things coming right before that.
Okay, good enough. Anyway, gang, thanks again, Tara Sue, Danielle Romo, and Ms. Sugarman. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. Thank you for downloading, everybody. Much love. Keep your comments coming. We really appreciate it. Stay safe, everyone.
Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, ScottyP.com, S-C-O-T-T-Y-P.com, ScottyP.com. Grade one specialty coffee.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For a 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circlecard.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.